This podcast is brought to you by Bodog.net.
Don't miss a chance to play at Bodog.net. When the odds are stacked against you, post-game tastes that much sweeter. Bodog.net, your source of free casino games, poker strategies, and live sports odds.
What's wrong with you?
That was Bill from the old T-Gor. Oh. Bill had some fun with it.
Okay. All right. I'm not understanding what has spawned this. Cam did something, and you're sticking it to Cam today. Right?
Something along those lines, yeah.
Don't give me this BS that you can't remember.
No, you know what? He is still sour. He didn't get his name in the intro for 3 days.
Okay.
Yeah. He says he didn't care. He cares. Yeah.
I really don't. Somebody said, I'm pretty sure Cam said something about Rebecca Black, and Kenny said that there's a bunch of versions of the song. I think that could be along those lines.
That probably happened, but he did for sure play a weekend-type song on a non-weekend day, because there was conversation about it.
I don't think so. I think it was on Friday. I think it was last Friday, a week ago today.
Why would we give him a hard time about it then?
I don't know.
Something
came up. I'm going with this texter.
I'm going with the name thing.
Your memory's trash, though, so I'm going to go with this guy. I think the listeners remember better than we do. I can guarantee you that.
That is true. I also do believe more than one thing can be true, and I think you're sour about the name thing.
That's correct. Silence. The silence is an acknowledgement. Caleb writes, I just missed the advanced green light listing to that Friday song. Sorry, Caleb. We apologize on behalf of Kenny.
Nobody got on the horn at Caleb?
Somebody else just said, what the?
I say the say rest.
Word.
Say it.
Yeah, go ahead. Say it. Chowder. Chowder. Say it.
Chowder.
Josh is
right on one thing. He did play the Hall & Oates Maple Leaf song.
See, I don't know. You and I have talked about this. That was the Sen song before it was a Leafs song.
Yeah, but it's not anymore. It's a Leafs one, and he played it after a Leafs win.
It was the Sens playoff song when they beat the Habs in the playoffs.
But ask it ain't Math. Anymore.
Ask Math.
I'm not confused by this. I know that it was, but it's not anymore.
Well,
everyone that hears that song thinks of the Maple Leafs, and he played it after a Maple Leafs win in the first round.
See, I look at it, if I'm a Sens fan and I'm ticked about it, you can just look at it just kind of like how Montreal fans ripped off a soccer chant. You can say, all right, good for you. And you could say, well, the Leafs just ripped off something that was a Sens thing years ago. Don't get up in arms about it. Laugh at it. It's like, all right, what else you want to do? What else you want to do? All right, Josh, thank you. What else we got? Tim Lifeguard again. Not the, just Tim Lifeguard. You guys throwing wrenches?
No, we can't throw wrenches.
We can't
look
do
what
that.
You started. Do not throw any wrenches. You can do something else, whether it's this is garbage or some other kind of
exactly
something like that. Some other drop, but we can't do wrenches.
Something we agree on, yes. If so, big wrench, or I'll say big garbage, to the guys who insist they're better golfers after multiple lost balls and duffed chips that aren't included in their score. Comes from Tim Lifeguard.
Sounds like Tim just finished up a round.
Yeah.
And got his buddy's score and said, hey, that's not right.
So what'd you get in that hole? The guy just stands there. I like when he air counts with the finger. Five. How many balls did you lose? Two. You got five. All right, five. You do you. But we're not playing for anything if that's your real score. I'll tell you that right now. Gatineau Hillbilly doesn't like the old Bluey song, he says. And legit stared at my radio and said, WTF. Okay. All right. Thank you, Gatineau Hillbilly. Keep them coming in. It's become an angry show. I guess it started with me going off on the start time tonight for Calgary and Edmonton, which is close to 11 Eastern, by the way. If people haven't been paying attention, you're thinking, all right, I know it's going to be probably 9:30, start a long weekend, maybe have a little barbecue, a couple pops. Yeah, the late game, Battle of Alberta. It should be a lot of 11. All right, you got to pace yourself. We've got the early one on TSN 1200, by the way. going to pick up the feed of that. It's Carolina and the New York Rangers shortly after 7 o'clock. Coverage starts right at 7 tonight on TSN 1200. Keep those texts coming in. Two more interviews lined up for you. Gord Wilson's going to join us in about an hour from now at noon. And at around 1, they're on the field this morning for Red Blacks training camp. We should have a player join us. We look forward to that conversation after the work stoppage is over. Camps are open, and it's a week tonight. There's going to be a game as the Red Blacks will be a TD Place for the preseason opener. As finally, we're going to have football back in the very near future here on TSN 1200. All right, some other things I want to hit on here. We played the audio late in the show yesterday, and there's been a lot of fallout and reaction. Let me ask you this. Do you legit think that Bruce Cassidy is going to be fired? Or was this just Seabass speaking out loud a little too much, like you would in an assessment of any season? Because his post-season comments yesterday and his media availability led all of us to believe that Bruce Cassidy's on thin ice and he's got a year left on his deal.
Yeah, I think it's probably like 90% going to happen. I do believe he's probably still evaluating or maybe even looking to see who they could potentially replace him with. But like that wasn't an endorsement. And the way he spoke about him, or not necessarily about him, because he did acknowledge that he's a great coach and he's done great things, but that we need a change and we need to play different and we need, like, everything that he said. If I heard that about me, I wouldn't be too happy. So I think that it's eventually going to happen. I think Cam Neely wants change, and maybe they're just not sure what the plan is yet. But I don't think he's completely made up his mind, because I think it would happen, right?
I wonder this. Because he also said that Don Sweeney's going to get an extension. It's just not done yet. They've already started talking. It's been since the trade deadline, I think, is what he said yesterday. And then he offered.
Why does he get a vote of confidence?
Well, this is where I'm going with this. Who knows what's going on behind the scenes? Is that tied to Cassidy? Is that leverage that the president of the hockey club is going to make with the negotiations with the GM of the hockey club? I'll bring you back, but you got to fire the coach.
Could be. It's a good point. I don't understand why he would get a new deal, though. What is? I know they had a good regular season, but in terms of if you need to potentially look at a new coach because you need to play different, you need a different message, etc., then you can't be thrilled with the results in the postseason the last 8 years or so and the drafting record. Why would he have job security?
Well, why would Cam Neely have Jeremy Jacobs? That's why. Like, it's just, you know, Cam Neely, if people forget, he wanted to fire Claude Julien. Like, in the season where they eventually won the Stanley Cup. Cam Neely, and like everybody, it was widely known around hockey that Claude Julien was going to be done. And probably, you know, Peter Chiarelli, the GM at that time. Cam Neely thought he knew best. Didn't happen. They won the Stanley Cup that year. So this isn't, you know, the first time that, you know, Cam Neely's had some interesting things to say. And a lot of people in the hockey world kind of questions, like, really? We're calling out Bruce Cassidy as maybe a problem with the Boston Bruins right now? That's a tough sell. And I know we're biased here in Ottawa. Bruce is from Ottawa, played for the 67s. Hops on this radio station on playoff game days.
I'm trying to eliminate mornings. That. He's like,
he's
I
such
think he's
a good guy
coach.
That way. And he's a good coach. He is. But we have to acknowledge the Ottawa bias coming from us. But I don't know. You just look at the Bruins, and I think of what that team needs, and I'm not starting with a coaching change. It's a weird thing to say.
Can I quickly change subjects just for a quick second? Can you hear the yelling? Like, can you hear that? Nothing, it's not happening now. But were you hearing yelling within the last minute or two?
No, because I've been yelling a lot. So
the CFRA newsroom is fired up, and Callum has been known to scream. And he's screaming. So it's all I can hear. I just was curious if the listener or you could hear it.
Wait a minute. Is Callum watching F1 or something? Is that what he's screaming about? Huh?
I don't know. I can't see him. He's at a computer where I can't see him from where I'm sitting at the moment.
Okay.
He's animated, though.
He's animated? Okay.
Big time.
Very upset about something?
No, it sounds kind of like excitement.
Well, Kenny might be able to fill us in on that. Is Verstappen on the track right now or something? Because isn't that his guy?
Yeah, that's his guy. Live or die with Max Verstappen for Callum. Max is out on the track. He's in first position right now, but
that's
it's practice
then.
Too.
I
don't
crack
think
the
so.
Case.
I don't think so. I would hope he's not losing his mind over practice because it is practice.
What are we talking about?
Exactly.
Don't have that handy? What's wrong with you?
I do not. Not at my fingertips. I was looking.
All right. Okay. That's all right. We're going to have some world championship hockey. I just want to set up our schedule. So we've got the Carolina Rangers game tonight. Kevin Hames is going to be on in the 7 o'clock hour tomorrow with Tee It Up because coming up at 9:20 tomorrow morning, we will have Canada-Switzerland as those are two nations in that group. It's a battle for the top spot in the group, both 4-0. Drake Batherson had 1-1 yesterday in the win. Dylan Cousins had a hat trick as the game was a little bit closer than you thought it would be throughout against Kazakhstan. And did you see Drake's goal, the at least highlight of it? It was one of those savvy little plays. He's behind the net, and he intentionally banked it off the goaltender. Is how Drake Batherson got his goal to go along with an assist yesterday. So the World Championships continue. And we'll continue to bring those to you. And Switzerland tomorrow morning following an early edition of Tee It Up with Kevin Hame. What are you laughing at now?
Josh, just sorry. I didn't mean to let it out, but I did.
Okay.
He's trying to get you to say a word.
I haven't seen it yet.
Well, that one text that you wouldn't read when Kenny had the music coming back from break, he's trying to figure out a way to get us to say the word by today's French lesson, I think he's probably drawing on the French Open, trying to get us to say a word that sounds like another word. Oh,
I see it now. He's using PH and QU in the word.
Yes.
To try to, because phonetically it would just sound exactly the same as something that would get us in a whole heap of trouble. Thank you, Josh.
Let her rip, Lloydy.
Yes. Happy long weekend to you, sir. As well here.
Oh, update. Right. I think Kenny's getting to the bottom of what Callum was yelling at.
Okay.
Callum's in the studio and they're talking. So we're.
He wasn't yelling. So.
Okay.
That's what.
It was somebody else.
Claim is. I don't know if it was anybody else. Was there any yelling in the newsroom?
Oh, there was 100%. There was. Maybe it was Zach McGibbon. Maybe Callum had stepped out. There was for sure yelling.
Oh, they were doing Norm MacDonald bits. Mm. Then that's a whole lot of fun. I condone that.
There's
you can
no
do
complaining.
All
There's no complaining here. Not one of us is complaining. I was just curious if anyone could hear it.
You're getting into Norm MacDonald bits out of the blue, which is like, I've done that before. I've gone down many YouTube rabbit holes with Norm MacDonald.
Maybe they got into the rabbit hole because they saw your tweet saying happy birthday to Jason York.
That's right. We'll acknowledge that. And we'll have a little bit of fun. One of Yorkie's favorite bits, and it was mine as well. We used to play quite a bit. And I spoke about this earlier this week. There is now a Netflix show kind of based off a bit during a movie from like almost 30 years ago. Mike Myers, The Pentaverts, the show on Netflix. The Pentavert was first mentioned by a character that he played, his father's main character in So He Married an Axe Murderer. So we'll have a little fun with that a little bit later on. But yes, it is Yorkie's birthday, and I did acknowledge that with another one of his favorites, Turd Ferguson. So happy birthday to Yorkie.
One of a kind.
Yeah.
Let's get some Yorkie drops today.
Yorkie Matic. Yeah, you got to use the Yorkie Matic on his birthday in honor of Jason York. My longtime colleague here at the station who is celebrating a birthday today. All right, we got to take a break. Get this back here. Grab the wheel. We're back in a moment, and Gord Wilson's going to join us coming up at noon. And we're going to have a Red Blacks player stop by at around 1 o'clock this afternoon after practice today on the field at camp. Stick around. Plenty to get to. On In the Box on TSN 1200.
Who puts on a pair of skin-tight Levi's for an 8-hour bus ride?
This podcast is brought to you by Bodog.net.
Don't miss a chance to play at Bodog.net. When the odds are stacked against you, post-game tastes that much sweeter. Bodog.net, your source of free casino games, poker strategies, and live sports odds.
It's Friday. Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Partying, partying, yeah. Partying, partying, yeah. Fun. Fun, fun, fun. Looking forward to the weekend.
What's happening?
That was the best one yet.
All right.
It make me grumpy that I'm less excited about the weekend because of this? Like, I'm in a great mood. I want to be pumped up about the long weekend. And, hearing Rebecca Black every re-entry, it's taking a little bit of pep out of my step, Lloyd. Does that make me grumpy?
A little bit. But I'm right there with you, and it's not so much this. I can just – this is water off a duck's back. I'm looking forward to – like, it's a true – and I know everybody listening, maybe you're working, and thank you, okay? If you're working this weekend and people are out and about and you're going to be, you know, working – you know, maybe you're in retail or you're at some event or whatever, thank you very much. Because I just wanted to say that because I don't want to sit here and say, ha-ha, we're off, but we are. We have a true 3-day weekend here. The local shows are not on the air on Monday here at TSN 1200. We'll all be back in full force on Tuesday, so I'm in a good mood, right? And the track is kind of clear for me and my family this weekend. We got some things we could do. We got some things we could like. It's a nice kind of let's just see what happens here. That's a nice feeling to head into 3 days off, right? But I got sour because I want to watch the hockey, and it starts close to 11 o'clock tonight.
I feel like you've been known to enjoy yourself on a Friday night and stay up late. Like, you can make it to 1.
No, this is usually what happens here, okay? Doing the midday
Please
show.
Please provide great detail.
Doing the midday show, it's a nice time slot to be off on a Friday, right? Mm-hmm. Show ends at 2. I'm not even really thinking about Monday yet and lining things up. It's just, all right. My wife usually gets home from work in the 3 o'clock hour, and weather's nice. Maybe we'll go out on our own patio. Maybe we'll hit a local patio, something like that, right? So here's my problem here. I want to be ready to rock and roll to watch this game tonight. If I start too early, Graham, let's put it that way, it's not going
to
happen.
Is it an option to have a nap after the show and then instead of your 2:30 patio, make it like a 6 o'clock patio? That'll take you into like 8:30-ish, get home at 9, maybe get into some more drinks and then...
No, thing is, it's just, you got to eat. Right, at some point here. And I don't know about you, but here's an old saying from my very learned father, who's got a lot of sayings, many of them I can't repeat.
Right? Go ahead today. It's a long weekend. Just repeat them.
Nothing ruins a good drunk like food.
That's good.
Something like that, right? You're just on a night, I'm just having a few pops. You know, nothing ruins that kind of feeling. You're just chilling out here. Ah, we got to eat.
That's good.
Anyways, okay. So that's I'm back on point here. I'm not happy about this late start tonight. All right. Guys, I want to play you something here, and then this is pretty awesome what we're going to play for you that happened last night on the Colbert Show. And after that, we'll have a little, we'll pivot and get a little goofy and have some fun. But first off, so Mike Myers Mike Myers has something new, right? That he stars in. It's been a while for that. And it's a show on Netflix. It's a six-part series. It's called The Pentaveret. I watched it early this week. I've seen the reviews. Either people hate it or love it. There seems to be no in between. I loved it. That's just me. I thought it was good. It was over the top silly at points, and you're like, ah, whatever. But it was still, anyways. First off, so he's doing the circuit right now promoting that. He's on late night shows and he's doing his thing. So Mike Myers, he was a guest on the Colbert show last night, and I gotta visually set it up because this is radio. So we're gonna play the entire piece from when Stephen Colbert is introducing him and he walks out, right, and does the wave that they all do in late night shows. He's wearing a Buffalo Sabres sweater and then sits down and then gets into why. So here it is.
I got to say, I like nice hockey shirt.
Thank you. This is just wanted to send some love to the people of Buffalo.
Now that's up by... It's up by the border. Do you spend much
Toronto.
Time?
Oh, yeah, of course. There are our neighbors to the south. I'm from Toronto, Canada. Oh. And I just today I was just thinking how much we love Buffalo and we just want to send our love to you. That's all. That's all.
So there you go. That's pretty awesome. Yeah, that as cool. We all know what the people in Buffalo have been dealing with the shooting number of days ago here. And Mike Myers is... A nice, classy way just to use a platform, a massive national platform like that, the pop out, and he's wearing a Sabres sweater, and so that forces Colbert to acknowledge it, and so he can send his love. That was pretty cool, Creature. I love that.
Yeah, that was. I had no idea that was coming either. I was when you were just teeing up the clip. I just assumed it was going to be something funny. I was unexpected. That was awesome of him to do.
All right, so now let's get goofy. And I thought of doing this. I'm like, and then when I saw it's Yorkie's birthday today, I had to do it. Right? We used to play this stuff all the time.
I know.
Back in the day. didn't we, Yorkie? We did, didn't we? We had a lot of fun with this. It was good.
It's good.
It is good. So let's... so... oh. Let's get to the
no.
Which one are we doing, Kenny? Are we going to do Head or the Pentaveret first? What are we doing?
Oh boy.
Yorkie, which one do you want?
I miss that guy.
All right. Well, Mike Myers is promoting Dr. The Evil. Pentaveret, which is his new Netflix show, and
Dr. Evil.
The idea for this came this I looked at this movie came out 29 years ago. So we married an axe murderer.
Damn it.
So here is the genesis of the Pentaveret. Here's the scene from that movie.
Well, it's a well-known fact, Sonny Jim, that there's a secret society of the five wealthiest people in the world known as the Pentaveret, who run everything in the world, including the newspapers, and meet tri-annually at a secret country mansion in Colorado known as the Meadows.
So who's in this Pentaveret?
The Queen. The Vatican, the Gettys, the Rothschilds, and Colonel Sanders before he went tits up. Oh, I hated the Colonel with his wee, beady eyes and that smug look on his face. Oh, you're gonna buy my chicken. Oh!
Dad, how can you hate the Colonel?
Because he puts an addictive chemical in his chicken that makes you crave it fortnightly, smart arse.
Interesting.
Cuckoo.
There you go. Okay, there's a little Pentaveret. Now, and Yorkie, in honor of your birthday, this is your.
Absolutely, I loved it.
Your favorite, because we would often have jokes at my expense, which was fine with the size of my cranium. I have a rather large cranium, and there's also a sequence in that movie where the young lad in the house is blocking the TV, and he has a rather large cranium.
Score!
Well, let's have a look at the replay. William, move your head. Look at the size of that boy's head.
Shh.
I'm not kidding. It's like an orange on a toothpick.
Shh, you gotta give the boy a complex.
Well, that's a huge noggin. It's a virtual planetoid.
Shh.
Has its own weather system.
Shh.
Head, move!
Stuart, bring in the paper.
All
paper! Now! Move that melon of yours and get the paper if you can. Hauling that gargantuan cranium about. I'm not kidding, that boy's head's like Sputnik. Spherical, but quite pointy in parts.
Well, that was offside, wasn't it? He'll be crying himself to sleep tonight on his huge pillow.
There we go. All right.
That's where I got that one from.
Attaboy. Yeah. Good to have. Well, it's become a three-person show here. Yorkie has joined us via the Yorkie Matic on giving up part of his birthday. And there.
I get it.
Terrific.
Oh, that's, man, back when he had the Max Milk incident.
How many of these do you have, Kenny?
Yeah.
Like, when did he leave us? It's been a long
Jim
time.
What's going out there?
How did you I've know to just record on those and like to clip those? Just a little.
Well, I would record the entire segment and just single out the microphone for Yorkie instead of having Lloydie on there as well. So I would have just Yorkie clips. Did the same thing with Jungle all the time. It was wonderful. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, man.
Oh,
one of
absolutely.
A kind. My.
It was, Martin Kamer.
First, to this day, I don't know how to pronounce the name because. Is it Kamer or is it Kimer?
Just chirping him.
That's when he doubled down on pronouncing it incorrectly. No, that's the way it is to me. And then it messed with everybody.
Yeah, just like whenever I'm doing a scoring summary in a Sens game, and I got to think, is it Nick or Josh Holton? Because of you.
I know, I'm so bad. I'm my worst is when I would call James Harden Rich Harden.
Yeah, I did that one too.
Different sport, different eras of different sports. One's a Canadian pitcher, the other one's a current NBA player. And I'll call James Harden Rich Harden sometimes. So the Nick Josh Holden thing, really, when you compare it to that, isn't that bad. I can do worse. And I will continue to do worse. Oh, man. Oh,
I just
like, what are you doing?
Well, we're talking about the birthday boy. So my first, like, before I even did any production behind, like, on the board here, I was setting up your healthy scratches on location on Sens home game days.
Oh, that's so good. That's one of that is a
Finnegan's.
Classic.
Back at Frank Finnegan's.
At Frank,
yes,
Finnegan's, yeah. And first of all, Yorkie would arrive during the intro, fresh off 18 holes, or maybe 27. And then before even saying, like, hello to you, because you'd be setting up the show, hey, good afternoon, it's the Sens game day, he would turn to me and he'd ask me for paper and pen, and then he'd draw something. And it would be, like, me and Matt Conasvita in a motorcycle with one of those riding buggies, delivering him coffee in an ice cap, and... Like, but like he would hide it, and then like once he was done, he'd turn around and give me the drawing.
This is just for you. It'll be worth something someday. Hang on to that, kid.
What a character.
He'd be disappointed when you were there, Graham, because he expected Conasvita would always bring coffee, and that's why he called him Coffee Boy. So when he saw you, he was hoping, I hope he's got coffee.
Well, Conasvita always came because Conasvita didn't drive, or he didn't have a car. For the first my first couple of years at least at the station, so I live in Kanata, and at the time when I was first hired here, I was still going to Algonquin, and I would have to drive downtown. Like, lucky it was just green me doing okay. Well, whatever the station needs, kind of thing. But I'd come down here to pick up Conasvita to drive him to Canadian Tire Center, and then he'd take my car, and then he'd go to Wendy's, and he'd get himself Wendy's, and he'd get Yorkie a coffee. So Conasvita was always there because he didn't have to start working until 7 o'clock.
I didn't realize this part of it here. Man, you've got something on Matty Vowles forever then.
Yeah.
You used to live in Kanata.
Yes.
Drive down to the Byward Market in Kanata on a game day when you're coming back. The traffic's probably going to be not fun either. Kanata, pick him up. And then drive all the way back to where you already basically were.
Yeah, typically I'd be starting from Algonquin. That's why I mentioned that in the story. Is so I'd be at Algonquin and then drive down here, pick up Conasvita. You know, yeah. So
Woodruff.
Yeah, and then he wouldn't ask me until we get there. Like, I'd be parking, like, mind if I take your car to Tim's? Sure. Do you know how to drive standard? Yeah, I can figure it out. Okay.
Optically. So this, I know, but sometimes you have faith in your guy. And...
this is a window into, because Maddie's also the king of, hey, I'm going pick a place on the planet where he's traveling. How you doing that? Oh, buddy's picking this up, and I'm staying there for free. And so just back on a smaller level, hey, can I take your car?
Yeah, he did that for years. So for me, it was only about a year. And like my first season, then the second season, I'm like, I don't have to go downtown on a game day. I'm not going downtown to pick up Connus Vita. But then, so I'd drive him there, but I'd be doing the post-game show. So I'm always there a couple hours later. So I never drove him home. So we always, he found a drive for years to the rink and from the rink somehow, every game day. That's kind of impressive.
All right. I'm hesitant, right? Because I think Kenny's just sitting there with his keys ready to roll. Yeah,
that's gonna
all
help.
Right. There it is. Okay, let's get out.
That wasn't me. I'm like, where'd that come from?
We'll take a break.
Oh,
we'll get it back.
That is a great handle.
Gord Wilson is going to join us coming up at the top of the hour as our Sens and NHL Insider continue to give you updates on the PGA Championship, which is underway for day two as well. Red Blacks player, training camps open, players are on the field. When that all wraps up, we're going to have a player join us probably at around 1 o'clock on In the Box on TSN 1200.
The Jackie Batchelor. The Alberta Antelope.
Huge crackage.
星期五，我真的很想跳舞。这个周末大家都要出去，出去。星期五，我真的很想跳舞。这个周末大家都要出去，出去，出去玩，出去玩，哇，出去玩，出去玩，嘿，快乐，快乐。希望今天晚上马上。
Now back to In the Box on TSN 1200。
Spite runs deep with this one.
He started off by saying it's revenge on Cam, and Cam's not even on the show. He's shaking his head yes.
So I guess we're going to find out just how many different versions of that song there really are.
At least 12.
At least 12, I would say.
Yeah, don't say that, Lloydie, because that could carry on into next week. You don't want that. There's lots. There's okay. Lots of different versions, some better than others.
So that's what we got to look forward to for the rest of the show. It's a long weekend, right? We're supposed, like, we keep dragging ourselves down here.
My goal is to miss the beginning of each segment going forward.
Well, you're already taking off at 1:30 anyway, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was owed some time.
You got that? Yeah, okay, sure. Let's go with that.
Sorry, I wanted to try out my Lee and AJ excuse.
All right. All right, why don't we talk some actual current sports here? We haven't done that in about a half hour. As we guided the show off the rails a little bit here. Was there any doubt that Mike Smith was going to start tonight? Because you know, that was confirmed yesterday by Woodcroft, that he's going to roll back with Smith after he is pulled early in the game. I didn't have any doubt, but there seemed to be a little bit maybe in Edmonton. Would you come back with Koskinen for game two here? So Smith starts tonight, Graham, but this is if this continues to go sideways, then we're going to be talking about the same thing with the Oilers that we were talking about throughout the season. They were talking about for the last number of years, if this team is going to take that next step, is their current goaltending configuration good enough? Because here's the problem. Mike Smith can be really good or Mike Smith can be really bad. Like there doesn't seem to be an in-between there. And if he has another really rough start to the game. And to be fair to Mike Smith, the Oilers had a rough start. They weren't ready to play. So it's not fair to lump it all into his lap. But of course he needs to be better. Because the problem is, does anybody have any confidence in Koskinen as a viable option if you have to turn to him? Like if Smith doesn't play well, if Smith got hurt, Anyway, so Smith starts tonight here, and it goes without saying that Smith needs to be a heck of a lot better to start the game along with the rest of his teammates. But this, if I'm an Oilers fan, I'm terrified. I'm terrified right now. Because you could talk about how great McDavid is and he can grab a game by the throat, and he pretty much did, and it still wasn't good enough at 4 points in that first game after a brilliant opening round. Oilers fans got to feel like, yeah, even if our offense is awesome still and we're playing well, it might not matter because the goaltending just might not be there. So Mike Smith starts tonight. We'll see how this goes, Graham. And I guess I'm asking a leash question. How short is the leash? Because the problem is, if you yank him, you're putting in Koskinen. And how much confidence does that instill with the group as well? They just keep coming back to it. The Oilers probably should have. I know Ken Holland didn't want to deal any part of the future or anything, but not picking up another goaltender, it's tracking like a mistake still. Even though they got through round one, if it's because of goaltending that they end up losing to Calgary and the rest of the team ends up playing well enough, it's like, then what?
Yeah,
what kind of consequences are we talking about?
It was
about
a mistake at the beginning of the year. They shouldn't have come back with that tandem if they had plans of winning multiple playoff rounds. I'm not surprised Mike Smith is going to be the guy in game two. I think he's been their best goaltender. I think, what was he, like 9-1 down the stretch? Had a pretty good first round, other than that gaff handling the puck in the first game. And he was brutal in game one of this round. But he's their best goaltender, and there's no confidence in Koskinen. So I'm not surprised by that. But I'm also not surprised the situation that they're in, because I couldn't believe that's what they were rolling back with at the start of the regular season. It's not good enough. They should have anteed up for Anton Forsberg. That's what they should have done.
But at the time, now I think we know that now. I really don't know if Anton Forsberg was available.
Yeah, no, I'm just kind of kidding. They should have improved their goaltending, whether it was Forsberg or Marc-Andre Fleury or whatever. If their goal is to win multiple rounds, the situation's not good enough.
Anyways, I know getting ahead of ourselves a little bit, because it's one game, and maybe Smith plays tonight, and he's great.
I think he'll be better. He was real good down the stretch, and I don't think he's as bad as we saw in game one. Plus, like you pointed out, those goals, like what was the team doing? It was brutal defensive zone coverage. So I think it's on both the team and the goaltender. And I'd expect better tonight. Although if I'm an Oiler fan, I'm still not confident.
And you know what? To be totally fair to it, and I think I made this comment during the game, later in the game, the worst goaltender on the ice was Markstrom, really.
Yes,
I think Markstrom
let in
the most bad goals of the three goaltenders that played in game one.
Yeah, Smith's save percentage was worse because he didn't get to last very long. But they were turnovers and just poor D-zone coverage and poor goals. Markstrom's were like, how did that go through you from there? Like it was bad. But again, I expect him to bounce back. He's a Vezina nominee and a finalist, and he had a terrific first round, although it was against a team that doesn't generate a ton in terms of high-quality scoring chances. But I think the Oilers missed an opportunity in game one because their goaltending was equally as bad.
I just found it incredible how a 6'6" goaltender could look so small hiding on the goal line. Like, he was so deep on some of those bad goals as well. So both
there's no way he's
for
that bad
better performances. Yeah, you would hope so. You know, he's got more of a pedigree. And to be fair, as you said already, I would expect both goaltenders to be better tonight, and I would expect both teams to be a little bit better defensively as well. Because even though they win the game, Daryl Sutter could not have been pleased. You allow six goals. How often do you win a playoff game? What's the percentage on that? You know, you kind of, you lucked out there.
Well, even the camera on that, that panned to the bench and to Sutter at, like, I think it was a 7-6 or the 8-6 goal. It's just, like, no reaction. Like, just looks exactly the same as when it was 0-0 or 5-1 or whatever. It was hilarious.
And speaking of Sutter, I wanted to get to this. This is a good place to put it in here into the show. I think we touched on it briefly because it came out during the show yesterday, but we really didn't discuss it. So the Coach of the Year candidates came out. And I think we asked Dean about it, right? We'll probably ask Gord in our next segment because Gord also has a vote on this. So Andrew Burnett is a finalist, Gerard Gallant is a finalist, and Daryl Sutter is a finalist for the Jack Adams Award, recognizing the NHL's top coach for the season. So Sutter was asked about it in his off-day availability yesterday. Quote, "The way I look at it, I don't need that on my resume. Some guys do, so I'd rather see young guys win it, or guys that maybe got a raw deal somewhere. I like Gerard Gallant. He got a raw deal in Florida. He got a raw deal in Vegas. If I had a vote, I know I'd vote for. If the coach is voted for the best coach every year, you get quite a bit of a different list for the past 15 years." End quote from Daryl Sutter. I love it. Love it. You know, that's kind of sticking up for kind of a brothers in arms, right? In the coaching ranks, acknowledging he didn't like and nobody really liked, especially the Florida situation, what happened to Gerard Gallant. And he brings it up. You know, with a lot of people listening and watching. That's good stuff. I like that.
Yeah, that sucked how they did it. I feel like now that we've had time, I dislike maybe the Vegas situation more. Not like I still dislike how Florida handled it, but in terms of deserving it. And I know they have high expectations in the desert to win right out the gate as an expansion team, but I don't know. I like him. He seems like a good coach. Seems like a player's coach, and did a lot of really good things for that team. And what it was first 20 games of the season, I think, right? And they were about 500 or a game or two over 500. Didn't love that, so I can't complain about seeing the end result in Vegas right now.
Well, the Florida situation was ridiculous. Just how they physically handled it, and the social media pic of Gallant getting in a cab was just ridiculous, and just an awful, awful look how that was handled. And you're right. Now that we've more time has passed with the Vegas situation, it's like, I don't know if that's a coaching issue. What's going on there?
Yeah.
You want to talk about roster construction and, you know, who's making what and some of the decisions you've made here. You would have to think that, you know, Pete DeBoer is the latest and he's out. Kelly McCrimmon and George McPhee, who is now McCrimmon's boss and was before, but McPhee gave up the GM title and McCrimmon had it. And of course the owner is Bill Foley. You know, this is quickly now kind of turned into what a story in Vegas, what a competitive team, what an expansion draft. And now we're sitting here. It's like, all right, where is the buck going to stop here? Now you've rolled through a couple of coaches. Blame them. At what point does the owner start to look at, you know, management with some of the decisions that have been made here?
Absolutely.
With Vegas. So still, that's a TBD. You want to talk about starts to next season that are important. Well, there's one there as well. Okay, midway point of the show, we got to take our break. And we're going to welcome our next guest. You know him well. Prepping a backyard full of holes and dog poop.
Text me when we're back into the segment.
Okay, that was the story from the other day. And then, of course, we'll talk some Sens and some Stanley Cup playoffs with our Sens and NHL insider, Gord Wilson, on In the Box on TSN 1200.